Next item, 14, request for approval of 2019 Oyster Replenishment and Restoration Plan and Associate Procurement Procedures. Yes, she is. I just make sure the person that handles the money's here. So, Andrew, good afternoon, sir.
I'm afraid to X that out.
All right.
I might lose.
I think I'll be good. Good afternoon. Let's see.
You hit escape.
Well, I think this should go out and just pull it up there.
That's what I was afraid to do.
No, we'll pull it up. There we go. All right. So this is actually, on a historic note, going through the process of cleaning out various boxes, came across some old reports from the Fisheries Commission there from back in 1928 and 29, and that was actually the first year that oyster replenishment got its start. So this 2019 season will be 90 years of oyster replenishment for the state here. So
that's
it's
cool.
Sort of our little historic note for folks there. That being said, this is the request for the approval of the 2019 Oyster Replenishment Restoration Plan and Associated Procurement Procedures. So I'll start with a little bit of an update on the current level of oyster harvest. This is through the 2017-2018 season, so this does not include this year. You'll see that actually we rebounded slightly from the last season. We're kind of up there on the public and private ground harvest for since compared to the 2016-2017 season. This was sort of anticipated based on recruitment from previous calendar years, so that was actually good news that we've sort of been relatively stable, but a slight increase after dropping down a little bit there in the previous season. this is just what the public harvest looked like there, and you can see for 2 years it was down slightly, but relatively stable. The level of effort in the fishery is relatively stable, sort of with the current management strategies that we have, the real driving factor is going to be continued replenishment effort and spat sets. But if we can maintain this level and sort of just keep these ups and downs going, we'd be in relatively good standing there. Again, this is private oyster production. You can see it follows along closely with the public production. Private ground production is still, in many cases, linked to actual natural productivity, natural spat sets. They tend to largely track together. So I mentioned there that that uptick was anticipated, and that was primarily a result of good spat sets in 2015 and 2016. This is sort of a broad bay-wide picture that you're looking at. So basically, this is the number of shells on the bottom, which is part of what the replenishment does, and this is the number of spat per square meter. So the higher this number is in 2016, generally, unless there's an event such as freshwater mortality, 2 or 3 years later, you're going to see that area have more market oysters on the bottom. This was 2017, so a little bit lower than it has been sort of in 2016 and 2015, which is what those harvest numbers I showed you were working off of. So we'd anticipate a little bit of a decrease in the coming seasons based on this spat set. And JJ there with the presentation on SAV went over the fresh water that had it, we experienced this year. And this is what the 2018 spat set looks like. Again, this scale on the side is the number of spat per square meter. And what we saw primarily as a result of all that freshwater mortality is spat sets weren't nearly as good as they have been in recent years, and in some areas almost non-existent. So that's one of those things that in future years, not this next season more likely, but in 2 or 3 years from now, the harvest, the market oysters might not be at the levels that they have been, and we would probably see in many areas a little bit of a decrease. And multiple years, if this wet weather continues, there would be potential for, I mean, if there's no spat there, once you've harvested the market oysters from that area, if there's nothing coming behind them, you know, your harvest could go down a little bit. The good news is this wasn't in all areas the case. There are a few areas that got replenishment efforts this last year that did receive extremely high spat sets. One of those areas was the lower James River. So in this area, there were in excess of 1,000 spat per square meter on some cases where we did put shell. So this stresses the importance of continuing the replenishment restoration work so that there is shell on the bottom when the spat are there. And really sort of the key things to look at are this 5 and 10 liter line there. That's what we like to, the minimum threshold that we like to keep those areas in, and that basically just means there's enough shell on the bottom that if a good spat set occurs, there's enough shell for actually literally room for the spat to set on. So that's what we try to maintain our public harvest areas, is that minimum of 5 and ideally above 10. So that's really the whole point of most of the replenishment of public grounds, is to keep that shell base there and waiting when we do get a spat set so we can capitalize on it. So that's just a little overall background there. So I'll go over the funding sources here of this year's replenishment plan. So we had consistently gotten $2 million of general funds since 2014 was the year that we consistently got those $2 million of general funds. In 2007, the Blue River Oyster Panel recommended $2.5 million of oyster restoration in general funds. And I'm happy to say that this is the first year we actually have $2.5 million in replenishment-specific general funds. The previous budget, before this last request, our budget was increased for both replenishment and restoration. So you might notice there's a distinction being made this year. So there was a budget increase of $750,000 last year that was for restoration-specific funding. So the current administration took that to mean non-harvest areas. So restoration funding will be work done on areas that are closed to harvest. And this year, actually, it just came through the final budget process there that we did get an additional $1 million of general funding that will be split 50-50, I believe, between restoration and replenishment funding, bringing the general funds available to $2.5 million in general funds for replenishment work on harvest areas and $1.5 million in this current coming fiscal year starting July 1st, I guess, or $1.5 million in restoration areas. The other funding sources are we have a long-standing relationship with the Nature Conservancy where they provide grant funding for certain restoration and replenishment projects in some cases. They have helped assist harvest area replenishment efforts on the seaside in certain areas. And also non-general funds, primarily the funds gathered by the oyster resource user fee annually. And in addition to these
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question clarification. This is for 2019 work, so FY20 funds, correct, for the state funds?
Yes. Okay. And also, we've currently pursued some federal funding sources. We have a high likelihood of getting a federal grant for around $570,000 or so from NOAA for restoration-specific work. And we've have the a grant application in for additional NOAA funding that could be upwards of $1 million, depending on the level of funding. We're not sure yet on that. The process did get slightly delayed due to the government shutdown there, but we'll be tracking through that. And if we do get these funds, I've included in this plan where we'd like to spend those, so that we're ready to go, have a plan, and can utilize those funds if they become available this year. So that's where the money's coming from, and then we'll roll right now into the actual where we will be spending this money. So the first portion of the plan is the transplant of seed oysters. So in previous years, we've primarily moved seed oysters from the upper James River Hantong areas. This was included as part of the plan last year to move about 5,000 bushels to one of the Potomac tributaries. As part of that plan, we were going to institute a rotational management strategy in the Potomac tributaries, basically close the areas that had just received seed plants for a number of years before, usually 3 years, to allow more market oysters to come to size to sort of better use those funds. We put out a notice last year to advertise to move these seed oysters at $10 a bushel, and we received no responses to that. So we took sort of a different approach, and it just so happened that that year we had replenished an area in the lower James River with fossil shells that received an extremely high spat set, and we were able to catch by dredge some of those oysters from that area and move those at a substantially lower cost and still complete that portion of the replenishment plan at around $6 to $7 a bushel. And we've replanted that area again this year, and this is one of those areas that I mentioned that received an extremely high set of oysters. That was actually that picture there that I showed you in the beginning. Those were actually fossil shells that we planted this last summer that received that high set. And we'd like to move this seed to a number of different areas, a second tributary in the Potomac, the Ocamico, an area in the upper Rappahannock, Radico Bar, and then an area in the Pocomoke Sound. And these are the levels that we anticipate being able to take from this area. And this would be areas that didn't have the spat set that we got in these areas this year. So these areas that had lower spat sets or traditionally have lower spat sets. And this would be a way of sort of sharing that wealth of the lower James River spat set that we got that this year. So when these areas do come into harvest in future years, the impact of this year won't be quite as substantial as it would be if we didn't move this seed to those areas. So it would be 5,000 bushels to Ocamico, 10,000 bushels Rappahannock, and then 10,000 bushels to an area in the upper Pocomoke Sound. This is the standing stock of the seed areas in the James River, and you can see actually partially related to that freshwater mortality as well as increased seed effort that we've discussed at previous meetings. These areas have seen their standing stocks start to come down a little bit, and this is another benefit of moving this seed from the lower river areas. We won't be putting additional pressure on some of these areas in the upper James that have seen their standing stocks start to come down with the increased seed harvest as well as this past year's freshwater mortality. So this is just the number of smalls in those areas, and this is where the bigger drop is in the number of market oysters in these upriver areas. So a lot of the freshwater mortality affected some of the larger sized oysters in these areas, as well as these areas are harvested every year. And some of the seed movement, they might target areas that have a particularly high level of market oysters because they can then be reharvested sooner than if you're just getting the smaller seed oysters. So basically by moving this fossil shell from the lower areas, there's a picture of it, we'll be taking that added pressure off of these areas. So you can see there's actually spat on top of spat on top of spat there, which is good news. So not all bad news with that freshwater mortality. These areas in the Ocamico that we plant, Maratico Bar, in Area 8 right here, and this is known as sort of Shell Rock or Area 13 in sort of the lower Pocomoke River, upper Pocomoke Sound there that we get that seed. In past years, we have done a sort of a seed trade in the Great Wicomico and Piankatank Rivers where private industry has been allowed to harvest seed oysters and then replant 2 bushels of shell for every bushel harvested. We don't anticipate offering this program this year. These areas didn't have the spat set to support that. And it's unlikely that if we did offer the program, private industry would be interested because the counts per bushel are generally too low to make it worth their while. So we might lightly replenish these areas just to sort of maintain them, but we wouldn't offer this as an option to private industry this year, primarily due to that lower than anticipated spat set in these areas. Which brings us to the meat there of the shell plant, where we'll be spending the majority of the replenishment dollars is on shell planting. So the areas that we'd like to focus on this year would be the Tangier Pocomoke Sound, Blackberry Hangs, Rappahannock River, Piankatank River, Mobjack Bay, York River, and the Lower James River, in total 586 acres. There are close to 658 acres right now that are below that 5-liter threshold, but these are the areas that have either just been opened to harvest or have sort of the greatest likelihood of success or sort of consistent spat sets, and that we'd likely be able to be in the area and sort of have the most impact with the amount of shells we can afford to put on the bottom this year. And I'll run through just where those areas are really relatively quickly here. And this is just a snapshot. If there's any questions about a specific area, I have extra slides, but this is sort of generally what you see in most areas. Actually, this is a little bit of an anomaly here. This is one of the areas in Tangier Pocomoke Sound that did get a higher spat set this year on those fossil shells, so not a lot of areas look like this. I'll show you some other slides there, but Tangier Sound was one of the areas that did get a little bit higher spat set, so that was good news. That's the blue line on the bottom there. These are the areas in Tangier Sound that we'd like to work on. Public Ground 7 or the Thoroughfare and California Rock or Public Ground 8, these areas were open to harvest this year, so they would get a year of rest after replenishment, hopefully catch another set this year, and then have some time to get up to size before they're open to harvest. So this is what we saw in most other harvest areas. As you can see, this blue line or blue portion of the graph here is actually a good spat set that we talked about in 2015. And you can see that sort of this is area two that will be open next year to harvest, that the spat sets for sort of two consecutive years haven't been as good as we'd like them to be. This gray area here is the number of market oysters, which when they're opened up to harvest will be, you know, about as good as they were the last time it was opened up. But once those areas, the gear types that we use are efficient enough that once those areas have been open to harvest, if there's not a good spat set behind them, then when they come back onto rotation, that those market oysters won't be there. So the gear types that we use are efficient enough that the majority of easily caught market oysters are taken every year. So if there's no spat set 2 or 3 years later, the number of markets hasn't recovered yet. So next year we should be okay, but in subsequent years, if we don't get good spat sets, we may start to see that decline in the number of market oysters there. But the areas that we'd like to focus on this year are the areas that were open to harvest just recently. So area 5 here and area 3 in the lower Rappahannock, about 56 acres there. This is the Temple Bay area, a little closer shot, and Parrott's Rock area here below the bridge. The York River is another area, and again, you can see that spat set there in 2015 very high, and 2018 substantially lower. So again, number of markets here is not quite as high as they were right there when it was last open to harvest, but has started to recover. We're still working on a better spat set in previous years. So again, this area will be open. It should be okay this coming season, but in future years, if we don't get a spat set, you know, you could see those harvests sort of start to come down in those areas. But the areas that we'd work on replenishing are Pages, Aberdeen, and Timberneck here. Here's a closer view. These areas, Timberneck would be the area coming into rotation next year. We'd probably go ahead and put some shell there since we're going to be in the area and it'll need it. But we'd also replenish the upper areas as well. There was also some discussion about mobjack at the SMAC meeting. So we do plan on replenishing this area. This is the area that was open to harvest this year. There was some concern expressed by some SMAC members about potential poaching causing some issues here. I know law enforcement's been active in this area, and it's one of those, do you let an area go because you think there's a problem, or do you replenish it and count on the good work of our Virginia Marine Police to enforce the area? And there was just some discussion in SMAC about that, and these are areas that are historically productive and generally do get a good spat set, so we'd like to go ahead and replenish them this year, as well as Browns Bay here in the lower portion of the mobjack. The James River has one of the it did get some extra effort this year, but it also has got consistent replenishment. It's closest to the shell deposits that we work with every year, so most of the hand scrape areas in lower James get consistent replenishment every year. And despite being not in a rotation, this area has still been doing well. It did have some added pressure this year, so we're going to take a good look at it in a spring resurvey. But you can see the number of markets has been pretty consistent and the number of smalls as well. I didn't include the spat set on this graph because it would really kind of throw things off there a little bit because it was actually so much higher than many of the other areas there. So these areas, even the harvest areas, you know, were very good in terms of the number of spat that we were seeing there. So a lot of culling for the harvesters, but that means that there's a future in coming years there. And these are the areas that would be replenished there, Lower Brown Shoals, Ballard's Marsh, Upper Dog. Nansbin Ridge is the area where we planted that fossil shell that we'd be moving for the seed program this year. So that's the areas that would be replenished. And just sort of as a for the information of the commission there, this is the Deep Rock Patentong area standing stock. And this is an area that has received minimal replenishment effort, but this orange area here is, again, the number of markets, and this is an area that's a different gear type, has received minimal replenishment effort, and has had increasing pressure on it. This year, upwards of 30 boats for the first times, but the standing stock has continuously improved in this area, and it's one of the areas that has sort of helped keep this oyster season going this year with some of the freshwater mortality and the disappointment that was in the Rappahannock. So this is one of the areas that's been holding up this season is this Patentong area here. So we'll take a good look at it, see what that additional effort might have been the impact to, but generally this area with minimum replenishment effort has been holding its own compared to some of the hand scrape areas. So that's the shell planting portion. On the Bayside, we'd also generally do a smaller seaside shell planting program with a combination of general funds as well as TNC funding. So we'd like to do that again this year. Some of those areas that were shown on JJ's presentation around South Bay have had oyster replenishment work in the past, and he didn't get to mention it, but I like to think our oysters there probably helped out a little bit with the water clarity there, but we'd like to continue that program there on the seaside as well. So that's approximately 11 acres and 10,000 bushels an acre there on the seaside. This is a portion of the replenishment plan that's continued to expand with some of our expanded restoration funding. So in previous years, we've experimented on a smaller scale with alternative substrate, primarily crushed stone or concrete. We've done that in some harvest areas as well as some sanctuary areas. Right now, we have some existing permit locations. These are the Chesapeake Bay Deep Rock area, areas in the Rappahannock, the James River, as well as the Pocomoke Sound. I'll go over the Pocomoke Sound project. This was a project that was part of last year's replenishment plan, and the permitting process, as well as some of the funding, was delayed for this project, so only a portion of it was completed. But the plan called for these areas shown in yellow here being cleaned of live oysters and shell. There were some poaching concerns in the areas, and then being replanted sort of on the best parts of the oyster rock, just in sort of a thin strip there with larger size stone to create sort of a poaching resistant sanctuary area that would provide broodstock for some of the replenishment effort that's been ongoing in this area. So last year we did plant some shells in areas 9 and 10 of the Upper Pocomoke after moving the shells further away from the Maryland line. And now we have the existing permits in place to do the stone portion of this, and we'd probably do that on sort of a test scale there using restoration funding. Probably sort of the large scale, the largest size of that project would be sort of that $300,000 to $500,000 range. There would be an opportunity to potentially partner with other restoration folks such as TNC or potentially CBF there in these areas. There's been some discussion about that. But that's sort of the idea now, at least on a test basis, start there. A majority of the stone planting as part of the 2014 Chesapeake Bay Watershed Agreement. Several tributaries in Virginia, 5 to be exact, were selected for large-scale oyster restoration. They're the Great Wicomico, the Piankatank, the York, the Lynn Haven, the Lafayette. The Piankatank is an area that we'd like to focus on as part of that agreement with restoration funding. So these are areas that we're seeking additional permits for to the ones that are existing for additional stone planting in the Piankatank there. This is the area that we also have a federal grant application for in the Lynn Haven River for alternative substrate planting. We've carefully selected these areas to be adjacent to state-owned marsh, and these areas would be planted in a similar manner to those areas on the seaside where we do primarily an intertidal to shallow subtidal planting, and this would be a combination of stone and potentially some shell in some areas. And we selected these areas to sort of minimize user conflicts. So the areas would be, as I said, in that sort of shallow area that wouldn't cause any impact to navigation and adjacent to state-owned marsh, and would also work towards that Chesapeake Bay Agreement of restoring these tributaries that the state is a signatory on. So that would be the plan there for Lynn Haven. And that concludes the replenishment and restoration plan for this year, and staff does recommend the approval the 2019 Oyster Replenishment and Restoration Plan, as well as the associated procurement procedures. I'd be glad to take any questions at this
point. Sure. Questions by members of the commission?
Just a quick question. What's your timeline on the Lynn Haven work?
It is somewhat contingent on permitting conditions there, so there is a little bit of a review process for alternative substrate that goes back and forth with the Corps as well as NOAA. But we'd anticipate being able to begin that work in June, and we could probably finish it by, I would say, the end of August into September at the latest.
And how many acres?
That's going to be approximately 10 acres, so probably in the 10 to 13 acre range, I would say.
Thank you.
Further questions? Very good briefing. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is the first time in a few years that I've done the procurement on this. We just basically approve staff recommendations as outlined, or was there a separate something that we used to have to do? I'm sorry?
Your attachment there is the procurement procedures. So those are the approval of the procurement activity sort of outlined there in that first attachment there. So
okay, first item on the we need to take up is the before the commission is the approval of the plan. The chair will entertain a motion.
I move to approve the 2019 Oyster Replenishment and Restoration Plan.
Motion made by Mr. Tankard, seconded by Ms. Everett. Further discussion on approval of the plan. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. The next item is the approval of the procurement activity for the 2019 Oyster Replenishment Program as outlined in your attachment. The chair will entertain a motion. Mr. Tankard.
I move to approve the procurement activity for the 2019 Oyster Replenishment Program.
Motion second. Made by Mr. Tankard, seconded by Mr. Zedrin and Mr. Minor. Anyway, Mr. Zedrin. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Get to work.
All right.
All right. Deal.